There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns are toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bulletin. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order.
Attention.
A new world order.
Attention.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Jones Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Yes, yes, yes. It is once again time for something completely different. I'm Dutch Jones. This is the Dutch Jones Radio Program. We come to you Monday through Friday right here on UBroadcast via DutchJones.tk. You can also go to our MySpace page, and you can get it there, Facebook down in the lower left-hand corner. And, of course, I'm known as Dutch Jones on those also. Wow, I'm getting a hum. Is it that one?
I don't hear a hum.
Yeah, it's just in my headphones. Monday through Friday, 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., and then not today, but on Mondays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays, we do our second hour on Liberty Tree Radio. Now, we turned off the webcam because I'm being swarmed by flies. 5 o'clock every afternoon, the flies come in, and we don't have air conditioning, so we got the windows open, and we don't have screens on all the windows. I tried to point the webcam out the window so you could see the cemetery right outside our window, but the camera can't handle the light. Right here. That's what's going on there. Here, take that. So we'll try and figure out. We're going to hook up a better camera tomorrow. I think if we get the time, I've got just a video camera. We'll run it through a USB input device, and that way you can see just how beautiful our terrain is up here. The mountains you're seeing now are just stock pictures that Lou found in his computer. What are you doing, Lou? Yeah, set it in the window. Today is the 25th of May, 2010. It's just 3 minutes after 5 p.m. Pacific time. And today's show, big surprise, just before going on the air, a couple of people came into the studio and told us, did you hear that Obongo's going to send troops to the border? Well, yeah, that's pretty interesting that he's willing to do that. Wonder where he got that idea. Let me pull up the article here. Yeah, he must listen to the Dutch Jones radio program. But they're sending 1,200 National Guard support troops to the border. Now, I've been down in Campo when I'm with the Minutemen, and I've been down there when the National Guard is there, and God bless them. You know, I'm not going to knock National Guardsmen, but they weren't being utilized. They weren't even given decent vehicles. They weren't given much training from what I saw, and they were used to, like, you know, be backup and blocking. They just, hey, you sit on the road in this pickup and just make sure nobody comes through and radio us. They weren't carrying weapons. And then the engineers that were building the fence, the military engineers, I think they were Army Corps of Engineers, approached us and asked us, you know, hey, you guys armed? Because they only allowed like one of them to carry a .45. They're on the border, you know, where shootouts and robberies and beheadings go on, and they're letting one guy carry a .45. So here it is. Under pressure to take action, President Barack Obongo is ordering 1,200 National Guard troops to boost security along the U.S.-Mexico border. Now, this happened today, preempting Republican efforts to force a congressional vote to send the troops. It's completely a political move. Just do a little bit, you know, just throw a little seasoning in there. So he's trying to defeat one of the many arguments against his pathetic leadership that he's not defending the border. He said, well, we sent troops. He's also put in a request for $500 million for border protection and law enforcement activities. Yeah, that's another boondoggle. That's going to go to buy armored cars and stuff. That's going to go to get them communication systems that won't integrate. Trust me, I've seen this all before, being a civil servant. I know how they spend the money. Now, the president's action comes as chances for comprehensive immigration reform, Obama's long-stated goal, look increasingly dim this election year. See, election year. He's trying to help out his Dems around by saying, look, our president put troops on the border. Obama has been all but compelled to do something since Arizona's passage of a tough illegal immigration law thrust the border problem back into the public spotlight. Yeah, it kind of – people had it lower on their list in all these polls, all these different polls they did, even on Fox. Oh, immigration, not that bad. You know, we got Beirut going on our border, and people didn't care. So now he's trying to go, hey, look what I did, people. Hey, I helped you out. He sounds like Bullwinkle to me. I'm sorry. Now, the National Guard troops will work on intelligence, there's an oxymoron, surveillance and reconnaissance support, analysis and training and support efforts to block drug trafficking. They will temporarily supplement Border Patrol agents until Customs and Border Protection can recruit and train additional officers and agents to serve on the border, an administrative official said. This is all lies. You know, they're going to do a show, they'll be down there for a little bit, they'll drive around, they'll make some hoopla, and then they're going to be gone. As soon as that election comes around, they'll be gone. There won't be any funding. He's not going to get his $500 million. There's just no money for it. Now, in 2006, President Jorge W. the Bush sent thousands of troops to the border to perform support duties that tie up immigration agents, meaning they put them on desk duty, made them go get sandwiches. But that program had since ended because the political value of it ended. And politicians in border states have called for troops to be sent to curb human and drug smuggling and to deal with Mexico's drug violence that has been spilling over to the United States. This is all acting like it just started this week. This has been going on for years. How's the meter going? Am I doing good?
Yeah.
What do you mean, yeah? It's good? You got good levels? Everybody says it's sounding good? Now, the administration official spoke, you know, on condition of anonymity, because he's probably just making stuff up out of, you know, just out of the air. Ahead of a public announcement that's coming down, the White House wants to have a big, you know, little presentation. You know, what happened is Obama met at the Capitol with Republican senators who pressed him on immigration issues and telling him, hey, you better send troops to the border. So he came, okay, I'll send 1,200. 3,000-mile border, and he's going to send 1,200 troops. That's less than one per mile. Now, Arizona Senator the great big phony John McCain and John Kyle, who I don't know anything about, have been urging such a move. Well, McCain's only been doing it recently when he's getting his butt kicked in the polls down there. And Republicans plan to try to require it as an amendment to a pending war spending bill. You know, why not? If they're gonna spend billions of dollars on killing Iraqis and wasting our kids' lives over there, why not tag a little bit of homeland defense on it? In a speech Tuesday on the Senate floor, McCain, in one of his best performances ever, I would say, said the situation on the U.S.-Mexico border has greatly deteriorated. He called for 6,000 National Guard troops to be sent, and he asked for $250 million more to pay for them. Yeah, talk about late to the dance, you know, McCrazy. I appreciate the additional 1,200 being sent, as well as the additional $500 billion, but it's simply not enough, McCain said. Democrats were considering countering McCain's amendment with a proposal of their own after disclosure of the administration plans. The White House hasn't expected to formally send its spending request to Capitol Hill until after the Memorial Day recess. Now, the spokesman, Kenneth Baer, for the White House Office Management and Budget, is the one who's doing all the speaking here, the spokeshole for the White House, the talking head, the hack. A military official said Tuesday that details were still being worked out on the troops, orders, and destinations, adding that to the timing of the deployment has not yet been decided. Also undetermined in which units from which states would deploy. Can you shut the curtain? Maybe that'll help keep some of the flies out of here swarming us. Now, the Defense Department, which has been jousting with Homeland Security Department. Oh, that's funny. I see this thought of a bunch of stodgy old men in their uniforms wrestling with the lesbian over in Homeland Security. has been jousting with Homeland Security for the better part of a year over the possible deployment, had previously expressed concerns that the troops not be used for law enforcement duties. Ha, that's a joke. Pentagon officials are worried about perception that the U.S. was militarizing the border. They want to militarize your downtown, your highways, disaster areas, but they don't want to use the troops on the border. What a joke this is. Now, I got a message for you Joint Chiefs of Staff, you hacks, you hemorrhoidal losers, you overweight, overbearing, overpaid dictators in your own little fiefdoms. You've already militarized our country. You've militarized our police force with joint training, and you're telling me you're afraid to put troops on the border, the one place they actually belong? What a bunch of cowards. What a bunch of... Serpents. They're serpents. Jesus called it. They're like modern-day Pharisees, aren't they? Now, the administration plans appear to use guard troops only in a supporting role. Now, according to the military official who spoke on condition of anonymity again, which means they probably made it up for this article, because of the details were still being worked out, some of the troops will be armed, but others will not. That doesn't mean they're going to have ammunition. That was another thing we ran into. We ran into troops down there with weapons, but no ammo. Let's see. Arizona Democrat Gabrielle Gifford said the situation on the border now is different from when Bush deployed the Guard. Arrests have fallen in the Arizona sector, and there have been record drug seizures. She said the border is more violent, no kidding, and law enforcement is outgunned. Well, yeah. She and other lawmakers want the troops to be armed. They were not in the previous deployment. She said the U.S. needs to spend what it takes to secure the border with Mexico. That's the only line in this article that I go, yeah, that makes sense. Now, the Mexican embassy said Tuesday it hoped the National Guard troops would be used to fight drug cartels and not enforce immigration laws. Mexico has traditionally objected to the use of military forces to control undocumented migration, except on their southern border. I added that. With Guatemala, saying such measures would criminalize migrants and open the way for potential abuse, kind of like how the federales abuse all the illegals coming across from OTM nations, right? Now, Cecilia Munoz, White House Director for Intergovernmental Affairs, told a group of Spanish-language reporters Tuesday that the National Guard troops would not deal directly with the migrants. More than 20,000 Border Patrol agents are deployed now, mostly among the nation's southern border. That's because you don't see a lot of Canadians trying to get in here. This whole thing, I've seen a lot of troops on the border. I've seen a lot of Corps of Engineer guys building fences. But as soon as the sun goes down, they disappear. This is just grandstanding. This is a political move. 1,200 troops on a 3,000-mile border is nothing. Nothing. Especially, it's not going to be 1,200 at one time. You know what they're going to do? They're going to grab them and pick them up for their 2 weeks annual training, and they're going to put them down there for 2 weeks here, there, everywhere. It's going to be hodgepodge. At no one time will there be 1,200 U.S. National Guardsmen on that border. I guarantee it. And I guarantee you they won't even be armed. Even though it says they want some of them armed, they won't be. And even if they are armed, let's say, for sake of argument, that they arm them. The rules of engagement are going to be so strict, they're going to have to, it's going to be, you have to be shot in the chest twice before you can even pull your weapon from your holster. It's going to be that kind of garbage. And these cartels that are down there, and they're very smart, they're not stupid. They may be savages in the way they conduct themselves, but they're not stupid. They're just going to figure out, they'll read the local newspapers, they'll keep an eye out, they'll see where the National Guard troops are, and they'll just move left or right along the border. What would really be interesting is if they did engage them, and I don't think they would, and a couple National Guardsmen from Iowa get wounded or, God forbid, killed. Ow. Maybe then people would be in an uproar. They don't care when they're killing. Stop doing that, please. Stop messing with your headphone. It makes a big pop. They don't care when ranchers are killed. They don't care when Border Patrol agents are killed. They don't care when sheriff's deputies are killed or wounded. Or ambushed. So maybe they probably won't even care when National Guardsmen are killed. Who am I kidding? You know? But the ones I saw down there when I was in Campo, California with the Campo Minutemen, they literally had them in like surplus olive drab Dodge. We called them M880s when we were when I was in the Army. They're disgusting little vehicles. They were beat up when they were probably in regular service and then handed down to the National Guard. Their tires were so bald they couldn't get in and out of the ravines, which were roads. They couldn't stop quickly enough because their brakes weren't good. And the National Guard's people were eager, though. I got to tell you that. They were eager. They wanted to catch. Like, I was on an observation post, and we called in about a dozen of them, came in broad daylight. We were eating our lunch, and my partner's looking over my shoulder. He goes, look at that. And there's a guy down there. He looks like Where's Waldo. He had a red and white striped shirt on and jeans sticking out like a sore thumb. We call it in. All these National Guardsmen show up. The helicopter shows up, but they got away. It just... They just weren't trained. They weren't – I don't know. It's going to be a debacle. It's going to be a complete debacle. And he's only doing it for political reasons. If anybody believes that he actually cares about what goes on our border, you're kidding yourself. You're completely and totally kidding yourself. We don't have a phone hooked up today, so people can't call in. I wasn't getting many calls anyway, so maybe we'll do away with the phone line. We've got to run a phone line across the roof and in the other side, and things just got weird today. My car's still not back from the shop. It needs all the brake lines to the rear replaced. There's pinholes and smashes in it, so it's going to be a while before I can get down to any place that sells phone line. I mean, I could probably do it with twin lead or something. I don't know. Maybe we could use Category 5 wire and make it work. We'll be on the roof tomorrow. I just thought of that. We got some Cat 5 wire because I know there's more than, you know, the wires needed in a phone. We'll just do that. We'll run it right in the window. I'm sure they wouldn't mind that. So you can't call in, but if you want to email me, you can email me at DutchJonesShow@Yahoo.com. DutchJonesShow@Yahoo.com. And throughout the show, I will bounce in and out of my email. Plus, there's the chat room. You can just type something, and Lou, if he thinks it's good enough to repeat, he can holler and tell me who asked it, and we'll deal with it. We got some good questions yesterday from people.
Someone commented on joining a militia.
What about joining a militia?
He said it's bad news. In my opinion, they're all infiltrated with feds, and it's Men Patriot.
Who said that?
Men Patriot.
Well, I would assume that if there's three people in a room and they're talking about liberty, one of them's a Fed. You can't live in fear. You can join a militia. I'm sure we've got an infiltrator. In fact, I knew we had one. We got rid of him. Oh, he left. But being in a militia is your duty. It's not like something you have to choose. It's something you have to do. And if you've got infiltrators, so what? You're not going to be doing anything illegal anyway, right? And besides, what do they need infiltrators for? They're just going to make stuff up and come after you. Let's see here. I got people commenting on the links. So, yeah, I wouldn't not join a militia out of that. I'm getting questions through Facebook, too. People are asking me what the topic is today. We don't really have a topic for shows. We just talk about what's going on and, you know, those kind of things. And then I throw out some ideas and try to stimulate your mind so that tomorrow when you get up, it's still in there.
Dutch,
you know?
Jones and Friends in...
Dutch Jones and Friends, what?
A topic for the show.
Oh, no.
Dutch
no.
Jones and Friends in...
Yeah, it's, we're not going to... We don't have topics. Yeah, no questions in there. That's cool. People are subscribing to the YouTube account. I see that. A lot of people are watching it. A lot of people are watching the Calling All Militias. We need to make another video. We need to make another Hey You Guys video.
Hey, you guys.
How do I get rid of this? There we go. And there's a couple other things I wanted to talk about. Boy, you know how they said they came out, I think it was last week, and said that violent crimes are down in America? That, you know, the Department of Justice has said violent crimes are down. Where are they getting these statistics from? Because I can tell you right here in the county, the three-county region, Tulare, Fresno, and Kings, it's the most violent it's ever been. I mean, we've got parents caving their kids' faces in with hammers. We have murders daily between the three counties, at least one homicide between the three. Multiple shootings. We have 15-year-old kids grabbing AKs and shooting up police cars with the cops in them. You know, they're telling us that times are getting better. They're telling us that just stay the course. You know, they've given us a little bit of reprieve on fuel prices for gasoline, but that's just artificial. You know, it's kind of weird. They always tell us, oh, when there's a disaster, you know, gas prices are going to go up. Then why are gas prices down? The national average is like $2.70 a gallon. We're still at $3 plus here in California because of all the extra taxes that we have. We're like, I think for every gallon of gas, there's at least 85 cents in taxes. So it's not done by a percentage, it's done per gallon. So you've got 85 cents per gallon between state, federal, and county taxes. But they keep telling us things are getting better. And then look what happened at the stock market the last 2 days. Again, a manipulated slide to help squeeze just a little more wealth out of John Q. and Jane Q. Public. I don't believe any of these polls they give us. I don't care. They say, oh, the housing is up 6.5. Housing starts are up 6.5%. Where? I got a guy here who lives here who's a contractor, a construction guy, and he's driving to Arizona to work for 2 weeks because he can't get any jobs in California. And they're not housing starts. They're remodels. They're people sinking more money into their money pits. And he's got a chance to go over there and do that. That's what I mean. Up here, there's no place to build any new houses. There's a few super rich people that are building stuff on land, but I think it's just they're building their lifeboats up here. You know, the little too little too late. But the Dow's dipped below 10,000 and then bounced back up. That's some magical mark, 10,000. It means nothing to me. The things I look at is the price of gold, when it starts going up and the dollar starts going down. Those are things that I kind of watch because they need to manipulate the economy somehow. And what is the greatest, best way that they've manipulated the economy throughout history? I'm talking going all the way back to the Dark Ages. They start a war. They start saber-rattling. The emissaries, the diplomats start shipping around the country and insulting each other. And that's what we're doing now. Last year it was Iran. I always get Iran and Iraq when I go to Sam. Iran. They're really trying to go out of their way to poke the eye of North Korea, right? Now, granted, he sunk a ship. Who knows? Could be another remember the main kind of thing. Maybe they sunk themselves. But I don't doubt that the head of North Korea is a loon. I mean, he kidnaps actors from Japan so he can put on his own movies. You know, there's all kinds of wacky stuff he does. But they've cut off diplomatic ties, which is usually the first step. We've sent submarines. We're sending in troops. What a great distraction that's going to be. Like, we don't have enough wars already. But the doctrine of perpetual war has always been used by tyrants to just suck the life out of their nation. They ship their jobs overseas. We don't have an industrial base anymore. We don't have jobs. And now they want to get into war with Korea, North Korea, which means China, and probably Syria, Jordan, who else knows? You know, Iran probably. It's going to be some weird, treaties that they're going to have. Not, you know, that they if somebody attacks North Korea, you know, I haven't really researched that part of it, but it's wonderfully weird that they can keep pulling the same garbage on us all the time, over and over again, and nobody seems to. Well, I mean, there's those of us in the weird media, you know. I don't like the word alternate media, but the internet folks, the conspiracy theorists, and all us folks, we kind of go, that's exactly what we need, and we speak out against it, but nobody listens. Warland's posted in there, "Welcome to the new dark age." That's right. There was never a treaty signed between North and South Korea, or the UN forces in North Korea and China. A state of war has existed since 1953. Well, actually, 1951. There's just been a ceasefire, which just means a cessation of hostilities, but they never settled on anything. So it doesn't really take an act of Congress to start this thing up again. It just takes the UN to go, "Hey guys, it's time for another war. Let's bring everybody in." Which is weird because I don't think it's going to work this time to get us out of our depression, because we are in a depression. They keep saying a super recession. No, it's a depression. I'm not an economist, but when everybody I know doesn't work and people are scraping by, it's a depression. We don't have a dust bowl, so they had to create, you know, a water shortage. There's not going to be a bunch of factories pumping out tanks for this. We're not going to be pumping out planes because you know why? The Chinese came over and bought all the factories. We shipped them to India. We sold them to China. It's insane. The only thing we've got going for us is fleshy young men to go over and die for the cause. We will bear the burden of any war that occurs on that peninsula again. You'll have Poland send in 200 troops. You'll have Greece send in 1,000. You'll have England send in maybe 3,000. But we will bear the brunt of this war that they're trying to trigger. And for those of you who have been following along, you know what North Korea's got. They've got short-range and intermediate-range nukes. They will, maybe an act of God will intervene and, you know, Kim Jong-il will have a coronary before he can push the button, but they've been waiting to do it. It's just one great crusade. This is no different than, you know, the robo-pope sending all the peasants off to the Middle East in a holy cause for the crusades. They just had to get rid of them. And they had to collect for it. Oh, let's collect for the holy cause. It's not. It's an unholy war. There's just too many people in America. Talk about a great way to get rid of unemployment. Draft all of our young best and brightest and send them over there to get nuked. And don't think for a minute that it's just going to stay on the peninsula there. Because of the way they have treaties and, okay, Is the message board not working? I have made 3 posts and have not seen them show up. I don't know which message board you're talking on. Down below? The comment board? I don't see anything there either. I don't know. I'm not sure, True Sons of Liberty. I think you're talking about the comment board right below the chat right there where I'm looking at. I don't know why. Maybe there's a lag. Because I don't even know how they do it. It's not like on someplace else where I can tell them, you know, oh, don't show this one or delete this one or whatever. I don't even know if I can delete them. The last one it says you did was 4. Oh, yeah, I guess I could delete it if it showed up. On my image, it shows that the last one he did was 4 days, 20 hours ago. But I don't delete them unless they're from Nicholas. I only delete the posts Nicholas makes because you guys don't want to see those anyway. But they're going to export terrorism to our streets, and that's the ultimate goal of our administration. Because they're going to have the Syrians, the Arabs are going to fall into line and support. You know, the enemy of my enemy theory plays into role here, comes into play here. Lou, why don't you cue a commercial and some music for the half-hour break? Oh, that's kind of weird. I don't know why that's happening, True Sons of Liberty. Mine all post. You're probably getting attacked from your end. If anyone else is having problems posting in the chat board, you know, let us know. But no one is. I can't remember anyone ever having that problem. We're getting weird stuff up here. We're getting like those of you that are into shortwave and all that kind of stuff. Remember the Russian woodpecker? It was a sound that would just jam. We've been hearing it up here on our radios, like on our 2-meter and on our FM. Something out here, something in the environment, man-made, is messing with us up here in this stiff bolt. Yeah, Lee just realized he has a microphone on him. He just looked up at it. He's like, oh, no, I got a microphone.
It's not on yet.
Yeah, it's on. Oh. Yeah. Everybody, can you hear Lou? Say hello. Say hello. No, jeez. You sound like a wimpy little man. But, yeah, they're going to step up stuff. They passed some legislation turning the Internet into a utility so that they can regulate stuff like what we're doing right here. I foresee a future when they say, oh, no more Dutch Jones. It's a utility. You need a license. Here's something weird. I was looking for Christian news agencies so I could stream Christian news on our FM radio station, and I fell into some discussion forum in Great Britain, England, or whatever, and they're like, oh, no, now we've got to license our wireless microphones. The British Broadcasting Regulatory, you can't even have wireless microphones over there in England. Right. They're just, because you could convert it to a radio station or communicate with it in some way or use it to detonate a device. So there's jammer stations, there's regulations coming down the line. But we're still going to keep doing what we're doing. We're not going to stop. And as long as you folks keep sending in $5, $10, $15, I think the biggest one we got this week was $25 this month, and we can afford to pay for the bandwidth and the internet, we'll keep doing it. We're behind. The $90 that we got is already gone. The internet was $85, so that left $10, and then the $30 for you broadcast, and then I gave $30 to Liberty Tree Radio. So we're done. We're out of pocket, and we've kicked in 30 or 40 bucks. So to keep going, you guys got to chip in over there. And if it's people have already chipped in, I'm not asking you. I'm asking the other folks, the new folks. If everybody just does their part, we will keep going. We'll keep expanding. The reason we had to pay $30 for you broadcast instead of the 20 is we didn't have enough room to store all the old shows. They were getting kicked off, and we wouldn't be able to record this show now. So we did that. So we're going to go to a break right now, and we will be back. You got your finger on the button, Lou? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Are you ready? Hit play, Lou! We'll be back right after this. Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be 2 things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number 2, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec
and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
Delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, bum. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new world order.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
And we're back for the second half hour of the first hour of 2 hours. Sounds like a riddle, doesn't it? I'm Dutch Jones. I don't exist. There is no Dutch Jones. It is just a name that we use. We come to you Monday through Friday here on U Broadcast, but you can get us on DutchJones.tk also. You can also... something just went dingy-dingy-ding. You can also get us... it's over there on the windowsill. There's all kinds of things you can do to listen to us. But we have a YouTube account, Dutch Jones. We have a MySpace account, Facebook. You know, we're out there. We're not afraid. They already know who we are. They're already, you know... we know they've got dedicated drones for our facility. I can't say compound. People hate it when I say compound. What's it say? I am at Walmart and a lot of 22 ammo. Tell her to buy some 22 ammo. Tell her to buy 1,000 rounds of 22. See, we got people out doing things. We shot up all of our 22 in training, so we gotta start stocking up again. Huh? That's it. Just say, buy 1,000 rounds of 22. We love you. Be careful. Stacy's texting us. She's about 40 miles away where the nearest stores are. And we try to do what we can to keep the ammo in the building. We've only got a couple 22s, but they're great to train the kids with. They're awesome. I mean, especially if you get tired of shooting the 30 cals, you know, the
shoulder
recoil.
Huh? Shoulder starts hurting.
I can't. Till your shoulder starts hurting. My shoulder never hurts. Lou's always like, ow. He turned down the chance to shoot a 30-06 the other day because it hurt. It was a Springfield 1903 that a buddy of ours down the street brought over to sight it in, and it hurt. And then Lou's like, oh, I'm not going to shoot that. He shoots the Nagants, the 30 caliber Nagants, but I just put a recoil dampener on his Nagant so he won't cry so much.
Well, yours doesn't kick that bad.
Yeah, mine. What do you mean mine doesn't kick that bad? It's the same round,
yeah, but still,
and it's a lighter gun.
Well,
I think you just can't handle the 7.62 by 54.
No, yours doesn't kick that
yeah,
bad.
Sit down in front of the chair so they can hear you whine. Well, we're rotating pictures. The pictures that you're seeing have nothing to do with us. They're just stock pictures. For some reason, the program will not let us put our pictures in. We've got some beautiful pictures of the facility here. I got one of a great, like a 5-point buck that... tasted really nasty, actually. But now we can't put the pictures up, so we're just doing stuff out of, I guess it's something out of the laptop or something like that. So, no, that's not my swimming pool. That's not my view of the ocean. I'm easily, I don't know what, 150 miles from the ocean? I don't know. I've driven to Pismo once or twice from here, but I didn't really pay attention on how long it took. What's it say? Okay, she will. Good. Yeah, we need about 1,000 more rounds of 22. We are good on everything else. But we're back. Let me check something here just so you guys know. What you're hearing right here?
Competing against other factions that are in the South and other groups that are, you know, they're spotted around the country. Now,
that's my little wind-up solar radio here on the table. Picking up our FM 93.3 feed. We're playing the Intelligence Report right now. And we do that from when I'm on the internet, he's on our radio station. And I'm going to start doing a show. I'll probably start simulcasting this on the radio station here in a few weeks when we get our power up. Right now we're just pushing out 40 watts, and we're only going a couple miles in every direction. In the mountains, that's not very good. So we had one person step up and donated the money to pay for an amplifier. Somebody just stepped up to pay for the power supply. And the room that we're in now, those of you that were here earlier and we kind of showed around, we're in one of the law library rooms. It's cooler. It's easier to defend. I like it a lot. It's off the beaten path. We're going to put everything in here, self-contained communications. So in the event we're ever in a siege situation, we can get our message out. Now, they may jam us. We were talking a little bit about that. But we'll at least be able to get an FM and a shortwave signal out to tell people what's really going on, you know, when the jackbooted thugs finally decide they're far enough down the list and they come here to murder us. So communications is key. I want to make sure that you guys know that if we get knocked off of, and I was saying this about if we can't do it on the internet, we'll probably switch to shortwave. But that'll put us into a realm of the outlaw, because we don't have a shortwave license, and I don't even know how many watts our transmitter is. I don't even know if you folks will be able to hear us, but we've got one sitting back there, and that's just something else I got to get to. We're always planning. We're always thinking ahead. Like just now, perfect example. Stacy on her way home from work stopped at Walmart because ammo is scarce here, and most places limit you to just 3 boxes in California. I don't know what you guys are facing out there, but when we find ammo, we buy it. If that means that we eat bologna sandwiches for a week, then so be it. We eat bologna sandwiches for a week. For breakfast, lunch, dinner, lose, you know, lunk fest, and what's the other one you have?
I don't have
it's between lunch and dinner, linner, or is it dunch? What do you call it?
You call it.
Because you have lunk fest, which is between breakfast and lunch. Anyway, he eats like 8 or 9 times a day. So sacrificial preparation. There was a person on here, I don't know if he's still in here, it's Minnesota Patriot or something like that. He said he's got nothing, he hasn't done anything, he's behind the ball. And I hate to say it, that if you're starting now to prepare, it's probably too late. And if you have a fear of reaching out and networking, it's probably too late. Because a lot of places aren't going to let you in. I keep beating on it and beating on it that when people go away all indignant, oh, you guys are nuts. It's never going to happen. There's, you know, Teotihuacan or whatever, you know. What is it? The end of the world as we know it, that kind of stuff. It's never going to happen. Well, no, the world's not going to end until the Lord decides to end it. And, you know, then we create the new world. But they overemphasize the goals that we have. And they criticize us for it. And then they're out there and they want to come crawling back. I mean, I know so many people that don't even have 3-day supply of food in their house. These are the people, you know them, the yuppies and the yuppettes. And their kids, they go out to eat 3 or 4 times a week and they'll do take home. You know, they'll get that chicken at the grocery store that's already cooked. They'll get the meatloaf in the big Stouffer's thing and heat it up. They don't have any food. There's no depth. The other day, you know, we were talking and it was sad after church because some people said, well, it's too late. I mean, how are we going to get this stuff? You know, what are we going to do? And like the pastor and I just said, well, we're prepared. You know, we've got our food stored for 3 months, plus we have means of production, means of collection, means of procurement. You know, we're not going to starve to death. And it's just sad to see, just really, and I'm seeing it more and more, how many people were just patriots in name only. You know, or what would that be? Patriots in name only. Pinos? They were Pinos? Patriots in name only, like rhinos. They're not really prepared. They got a lot of good books on their bookshelves. They own a couple guns. They've never trained with them. I'm dropping an Allen wrench. They've never trained with them. They don't have food stored around. They don't have cached food. They haven't made plans. One of our regular listeners called me today to tell me he can't listen. And I'm not going to say where he is, but he's Steve from Southern California who calls in quite often. He won't be able to listen because he's at his fallback position, caching and stashing. And where he is, there is no internet. Now, I don't care if – now, I know people that are on welfare. I know people that are on unemployment. I know people that are on disability. And if they're just taking 10% of their check and putting canned foods away, they're being godly in the cause. Warland puts in there, if I get cut off from insulin, I fully understand that I am a dead man walking. Yeah. I've got type 2 diabetes, and I take a different kind of medicine. I'm working on losing the weight. But if you read the book Lucifer's Hammer, there was a guy in there, a cosmic scientist or something, physicist. He realized that it was going to cost a sheep a day to keep him alive because they make insulin from sheep somehow. And in that book, he just made himself valuable because he knew how to make weapons, chemical weapons. I don't want to ruin it for anybody who hasn't read the book yet. So you got to find ways. I don't know. You can't stockpile, you know, some medicines. They dissipate. So you got to start researching things. I mean, what happened? Did all diabetics die 200 years ago before insulin was invented? I don't know.
Were there even diabetics?
You know, it's like type 2 diabetes. It seems to be a modern epidemic because we're all fat and lazy. I'll speak for myself on that. Olima says she's got 100% raw food for like 6 weeks. It cures diabetes. There's all kinds of stuff out there, folks. Holistic whole food solutions. We've got a handful of people here that are, you know, I can't talk to them because I don't understand the stuff. But when the time comes and I need to, you know, okay, look, I've got this tumor. What do I eat? What do I do? What ointments can you throw together? They specialize in the salves and the tinctures. That's what having a community is all about. We have people that can't train with firearms, so they train with learning these nursing skills, these medical skills. Starved mice live longer than overfed mice. That's true. Up until I got out of the Army, I was one of those starved mice types. Who is it? Oh, tell her I'm on the air, and she can tell her to call after 7 o'clock, and I'll talk to her. Yeah, tell her I'm on the radio. My daughter's calling me, folks. I don't have a phone to put her on, otherwise I would. Tell her I love her, I miss her, and I'll talk to her after 7.
He says he loves you and you have to call
after. I'll call her after 7.
He's going to call you after 7.
So, I keep telling people I'm not looking for sheep anymore. Some people get mad at me on this show because you're talking to people that, you know, you're using terms and stuff that we beginners don't know. I mean, well, you got to go somewhere else then, because that's not my ministry. My ministry is not to educate those who refuse to be educated when the time was easy. You know, times aren't viciously bad now. They're only asking us for our papers when we're pulling over. The Highway Patrol is only taking your money indirectly. They're not actually putting a gun to your head and taking everything you own yet. But when it gets that way, you know, I'm not going to be traveling. Or I'm going to be traveling in large enough groups that when some idiot pulls that, my slack's going to come up and put them on the ground. You know, I've said before that we've come to the point now where those of us up here don't like to go anywhere, especially the men, unless there's two or three of us at a time. Because we don't know when things are going to get bad, just because of the crime rate here. I hate the fact that Stacy drives 40 miles one way to work every day. But that's just the sacrifices and some things you have to put in the hands of God. I've already asked Pastor Manning to be on the show, True Sons of Liberty, and he sent me an email saying that he doesn't do radio shows anymore. He says he's just too busy, and he just will, he says, if I want information, I can, you know, record his messages he puts out and stuff. But thanks. We can do little now for the sheep, those of us that are sheepdogs. A couple people are calling me, telling me they're wolves. I don't get that analogy because I'm here to protect my friend and family from the wolves, but I understand why they like that. They like saying, oh, I'm a wolf, I'm a lone wolf, I can do this by myself. The Wolverines, yeah, you know, that kind of thing. But it's all about sheepdogs gathering now. Now, granted, if a single mom and her two kids come to us, we're going to lend her aid. You know, like I said, we'll give her a butter knife and a Bible and tell her to go get a gun. No, I'm kidding. We'll give them food, maybe some snare material, some fish hooks,
maybe
some bait.
Some water.
Maybe some water. No, we got a lot. One thing that we have in abundance here is water, because we have rivers, we have wells,
we have
springs, and we just have to purify it, because unfortunately none of the water, even the cleanest mountain water up here, probably the most virgin snow that I can see from my window, it's probably contaminated now because of how they poisoned our world. We go out of our way to prepare, and we were ridiculed. We were mocked. You guys know what it's like. Even people that are late to the cause, you know what it's like. And now these same people are going, oh, where do you get what's an MRE? What's freeze-dried food? How do I make a fire? I've had people come up here literally seeking me out and go, you know, I've heard of your stuff, I've seen your website, you know, I want to come up here and spend a weekend with you, you know, I'm trained, I'm doing this, and then you find out they don't even know how to cook over an open fire. They show up with canned food, they don't have can openers. They don't know how to use the can opener. I go, well, you got a Swiss Army knife? Yeah. Well, you got a can opener? No, I don't. I have a Swiss Army knife. That literally happened to me. It's like you've got these people that wanted to look cool. You know, they buy all the gear, they put it on, they stand in front of the mirror, they take pictures of themselves, put it on their Facebook page. Jump around, I'll have a great
time.
They
tell themselves, I am beautiful.
They can say, I'm the prettiest girl at prom, right, Lou? But yet, they haven't done any of the hard work. You know, I could go buy all the materials I need. I could buy paint, brushes, an easel, canvas. You know, I could get a smock, that little French beanie hat. And I can stand and stare at a canvas for hours. But without some kind of training, I'm never going to paint a masterpiece. Unless somebody comes along and guides my hand, or I have an innate gift from God to do those things. And unfortunately, so many people thought that if they just went out and bought all the gear, that they were going to be able to survive. Now, this is going to sound very draconian, and you're going to go, I can't believe Dutch just said that. That's not very Christian. Well, the good news is, if you know where these people are, and they get killed on the way home from work because they were stupid, go there and take their stuff.
I can't believe Dutch said that. That's not very Christian.
Thanks, Lou. That's going to be a mobile supply pod for you. I would much rather I take my neighbor's gear who didn't listen to me until the last minute than let some street gang go in there and get his shotguns and his tactical vest. Right? I mean, think about that. You know, I still give help to sheep. I kind of smile at him and go, oh, so just now things are getting to the point where you think you should do something. Yeah, where have you been? You haven't really been paying a whole lot of attention, have you? And the other thing is, it's people, it's like, they don't have a whole lot of money, right? So they're like, well, there's no use. I don't have any money. I can't go buy a case of MREs, which is $75 right now. I just can't do it. Can you buy a bag of beans and a bag of rice? Yeah. Then do that. Every week, buy a bag of pinto beans, buy a bag of rice, and read this book on how to snare neighborhood cats. And they all cringe when I do that. I'm not going to eat a cat. You're going to tell your daughter to starve? Tell them it's chicken. Because you're not going to live a whole long time on beans and rice, but at least it'll keep your belly full. I don't even know how many buckets of beans and rice we have, Lou. Any guess?
300 gallons.
I don't know. They're 5-gallon buckets. Some of them are 6-gallon buckets. We were going to do an inventory this week, but we started talking about our conference and doing security, and we got sidetracked. But we never stop storing beans and rice. And it lasts for a long time if you do it right. And knowing where in your area short-term storage food is. You know, because the zombies are going to hit the grocery stores and grab all the canned food and everything they can get and run off with. What about the distribution warehouses and all those industrial zones that you drive by every day and you're looking down off the overpass? What is that? When I lived in Colton, I knew where every single grocery store stored everything. I knew ways in, ways out. I checked it out with Google Maps. I walked the property. You know, you get a dog on a leash, you go walking over there, talk to the security guards. You know, boy, this is a pretty big facility. Yeah, it's 500,000 square feet, and it's all full of canned food. Wow, not a name on the building. Oh, it's for Stater Brothers. It's for Safeway. They all share it. You got to know these things. You got to find out where these locations are. Worst case scenario, you get caught away from your stash, and you just got like a week's supply of food in your car. You're on vacation. You're at Disneyland. I don't expect you to take a utility trailer full of stuff to Disneyland. I know that. I would, but I don't expect everybody else to do that. Study the area you're going to and learn where the supplies are. Learn where the high crime areas are to stay away. Sometimes the best escape route is not a direct line. Okay, I'm reading stuff in the chat room. It's true. I would sooner eat raccoons. The problem with raccoons, Warlin, is that they're scavengers and they eat a lot of dead stuff. I like cats because they hunt for their food. You know, that's why I don't like eating bear. They eat a lot of rotten meat.
You're eating something cute.
You're eating something cute when you're what? Eating a raccoon or eating a cat, Lou?
Eating a cat.
No, cats deserve to be eaten. I would eat a dog, no problem. We have people that are breeders. They breed dogs, and I bring that up all the time. I'll eat a dog. If I catch something in a snare, and it doesn't appear to be any kind of human, I'm eating it. You know, I'll eat snakes. I'll eat lizards. We got so many of these blue-belly lizards around here and alligator lizards. Send the kids out all day with nets. It's food. You know, we've just saw, what was it, Three Amigos? How do you like your bat? Medium well. Medium rare. I don't know how well a bat would taste, but there's not much there, but hey.
They're crispy.
They're crispy. But unless you want to be eating bats and whatever you can catch in your snares, you better be stashing food. And I would argue that if you're in suburbia, all you're doing is stashing it for the criminals anyway. I'm in South Korea. South Korea, yeah. South Korea. Yeah, Lou always thinks it says Korea when people say it real fast. Oh, we're from the North Korea Water Association. Did they just say they're from North Korea? No, Lou, they're from North Korea. Or Lower and Upper Korea River.
I know they
did. Lou still thinks that.
I did not.
So, yes, you did at the water meeting we went to.
I was joking.
No, you weren't. You were dead serious.
No,
I could see
it.
You're like, there are North Koreans here?
I didn't say that. I was joking.
But if you're storing stuff in your garage and you live in L.A. anywhere, I don't even see a point in that unless you have that motorhome or that trailer you're going to be able to get out of there with. And you have some kind of prophecy gift. Go ahead and change the picture again. I'm getting tired of looking at the pool.
What was it?
Yeah, I don't want to look at the pool. Every time I look at that pool, I keep thinking of it as like a scene from Young Einstein.
Frankenstein?
No, Young Einstein.
Here they are. Change the picture.
They're There, somebody says it would be great for tunnels. We have God gave us tunnels. This place is a cave complex. We have caves up here, like Soldier's Cave. Only 25 miles of it have been explored. Only 25 miles of Soldier's Cave has been explored. Crystal Cave, they haven't explored all of it. There's so many caves around this area, we don't have to dig tunnels. You know, we're going to go Ho Chi Minh on their butt the minute they chase us off of our property anyway. And, you know, we'll get into the cave complexes. They're 60 degrees year-round, clean spring water year-round in many of them. There's only one tunnel, one cave that I know of up the end of South Fork River Road, way up there, like 15 miles. They had to put a door on it, a welded door, because people were dumping their trash in it. So that's the only one I know that's probably contaminated. The reason I'm here was serendipitous. It was divine intervention. I was living in L.A. region, and I hated it because I knew that my evil ex-wife was not going to do anything to aid me in the preparation. In fact, she mocked it. And I knew she'd probably get me killed when the things went bad. I was glad she wasn't there for the riots. She would have got me killed. But now God gave me a new wife, a new son, and I know without a doubt that they got my back. And that...
You mean a new wife and a son?
What did I say?
A new wife and a new son.
Well, yeah, you're still... I mean, I use new too much in the sentence, but you're kind of worn out, though.
Hey.
Yeah, you're kind of like rummage store kind of son. I got a secondhand son. What? Who doesn't give me the honor and respect that I deserve? Where's
secondhand
that,
son?
Where's the training knife? I'm going to come across and jab you with the training knife.
Go ahead.
I still can't make a fist with the sliced open finger you did.
I didn't slice. You cut it on the...
Yeah, the formica. Yeah. Lou, bring up a song.
Okay.
And then a song first. And it,
play it right now?
No, not right now. At 59 minutes. Play the song and then play the... do you have the Sawyer water filter commercial? We haven't talked about our Sawyer water filters in a while.
Yeah, I got it.
A lot of people up here, what they're doing, and I'm not going to say where they're doing it, but people I've worked for and I've helped them do this, they buy the C-Train containers, and they hire a couple young guys to dig it out, and then they put it in there, and then they hire a couple old guys like me to fill it back in. The problem is you can't go too deep. I mean, surprisingly, those roofs aren't that strong on those C-Train containers, so you have to put a structure of 4x4s inside, which makes them a little more livable. And you can put some drywall up in there. You need a ventilation system. So when you put more than a couple feet of dirt on top of them, it won't cave in. What we're doing up here is for drainage, we're putting bales. First, we put down gravel, pretty good-sized gravel. We put down all kinds of gravel. And then we put down bales of hay, and then we cover it with dirt and then plant sod over it. And you can either camouflage the opening or what some of these guys are doing. They're putting a shed in front of it. So it looks like a shed's up against the hillside. And the shed, and you have like a preacher hole, like in Europe, you know, where the people could disappear through the back of a cabinet or something. No, Lou's not a secondhand. I was just picking on him because, you know, Lou can take it.
I don't get it a secondhand.
He doesn't get it secondhand. He doesn't understand. He's a refurbished son. Let's put it that way. Yeah, I got him. I had to put a little work into him, but other than that, he seems to work out okay. You know, once they unchained him from the attic, I didn't even know Stacy had a son. Until we were married for a month, and I kept hearing growling in the heater vents. I didn't know what it was. I said, "What is that?" She said, "Well, there's something I need to tell you, Dutch. There's another member of our family." I was like, "Really? You're pregnant?" No, I'm not pregnant. And she pointed to the ceiling, and I heard, "Rawr, rawr, 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 rawr." Once we got him down out of the attic, he was fine. You know, he'd been living on fish heads and coffee grounds.
That was an episode of The Simpsons.
Was that an episode of The Simpsons?
Yes.
Another thing people are doing up here are earth houses, sandbags. They're getting cast-off rice bags. You can buy them right from offline. There are all kinds of places to find them, filling them full of dirt. And they use strands of barbed wire to keep them from slipping. They stack them up. They spray like a stucco on them, or they bury them in dirt. And they've got like these igloos. I mean, amazing stuff. And there's rammed earth houses. There's a guy in Texas that I was talking to. He makes his own adobe bricks. He gets a bunch of, you know, challenged, you know, youth with problems, and they build structures. Roly-poly fish heads. Eat them up. Yum, Lou. But there's so much we can do. Okay, go ahead. We're going to take a break right now. We're not going to switch to Liberty Tree Radio today. It is Tuesday. So we'll be back after this, and we'll talk a little more about some preparedness stuff, and maybe I'll pick on Lou a little bit and see you guys can get mad at me and defend him. It'll be funny. Okay, go ahead and play the music, Lou.
Like Darth Vader with his gun and his radar and his flashing blue light. He drives a government squad car full of all kinds of hardware to handle the angry mob. And with his badge on his shoulder and his gun in his holster, he'll tell you he's just doing his job. Watch out for martial law when he's out there watching that. Bangster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns the muscle and might. And he just might pull you over to the side of his shoulder, cause he cannot see your license plate in light. Because he cannot see your license plate in light. Ain't it a frightening feeling when you're behind the wheel? Or when you're round in the corner and he's right there behind you in your rearview mirror. Is he a foe or a friend or this public defender we see on our TV screen? Or just some vain reckless power gaining strength every hour, a threat to the American dream? Watch out for martial law when he's out there watching after you. If he's a tool of the bangster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, collector of the revenue. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. That boy is dangerous when he's aiming that gun. Like he was part of the dream when we could count on him. But now he sold his allegiance to those socialist schemers and their every whim. Now I've got nothing against him if he's out defending my country, my Bill of Rights. But if he's out there abusing all those powers he's using, then maybe we should turn off his lights. Watch out for martial law when he's out there watching after you. If he's a tool of the bangster, he's a badge-wearing gangster, an agent straight from Interpol. Watch out for martial law. He's there to prove who owns the muscle and might. And he just might pull you over to the side of the shoulder, cause he cannot see your license plate. Watch out for martial law. And if he's tailing you, you better not run. Just read the news in the papers covering some of his capers. He's dangerous when he's waving that gun. I said you better be wary if he's had a bad hair day, because he's dangerous when he's aiming that gun. He can be dangerous when
in the
best conditions, the human body will die after 3 days without water. Having access to clean, drinkable water in a disaster, survival situation, or military action is critical when putting together your survival plan and survival kit. Whether you choose to boil, filter, purify, or use some type of chemical treatment, something must be done when planning your survival, escape routes, and plans, and putting together your bug-out bag or simply your rucksack. That's why I have chosen to offer Sawyer brand water filters. These filters used in the medical industry for kidney dialysis exceed the needs for water purification. With different units available, the basic unit that you should get will be capable of filtering up to 500 gallons a day and will not need to be replaced until you have surpassed 1 million gallons through that filter. I know that's hard to believe, but it's a fact. They've been using these filters overseas for years in the missionary fields and in post-disaster recovery efforts. The filters are lightweight and simple to use, so whether you attach it to a 5-gallon bucket, to a water bladder, or to a 10,000-gallon tank, these filters can do the job for you. They can handle up to 40 PSI, and with different fittings and ingenuity, you can even apply them to inside, inline water supply systems into your house, cabin, or survival structure. So I'm asking you to go to djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer water filters. Order them through us. You will save at least $5 off the retail price of buying them from Sawyer Direct. And as always, the money goes to help the radio ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So, do something right for your family, get them prepared for a disaster or calamity, and you're helping us out. So don't forget, djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. Check out the Sawyer brand water filters.
There is rebellion in the wind.
A new world order.
How can you have a house without a gun?
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
Heavens, what kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Dutch Jones
Radio Program.
And now for something completely different.
Hello, hello, hello. What do we got going on here? I should have positioned myself before the... Do you hear that? Take it out. Just take it out. Something's wrong with your player. You've probably corrupted it by downloading something on there.
No.
Yeah, I don't know why the player would be corrupted. That's kind of weird. A bunch of homosexuals and Christian haters. ExtremeSurvival.net is a site for extreme homosexuals and Christian haters. Wow. ExtremeSurvival.net. Don't go there. If you do go there, be mean to them. I don't know. I never heard of them. The one I go to is SurvivalBlog.com. Can't stress it enough, survivalblog.com. Once again, that's survivalblog.com.
You could survive
in its blog. Yeah, it's a great little place. And when you get there, you're going to go, oh, I know this guy. Isn't it? What's his name? Andrew Lloyd Webber? Or what is it?
James Wesley Rawls.
Yeah, I forget names. James Wesley Rawls. Talking about survival stuff. You folks, if you haven't done it already, you better be collecting communications gear. I was just listening to Mark. Here he is over here. Watch.
Zero.
It's a commercial on now. On our FM side. And it's Communications Tuesday over there. And while I was out checking the pork chops, there can be no Dutch mixed mic problem. I don't know what that is. I don't think so. It only garbles. It garbled it. I don't know why it would do that. Everything's separate. But we'll check into it. Be buying up CBs. You know, right now you probably can't communicate with them because every time I turn mine on, it's loaded with illegal alien Mexican truckers. Just, you know, filthy exchanges in Spanish and English. But they're going to come in handy. They're going to come in handy a lot. Because CBs are line of sight. Kind of, depending on the terrain. You know, they'll only go a few miles. great for unit security communications, great for like having an OP with a CB up on a hill. You can even make directional antennas for them. I took an old satellite dish, put a magnet mount mobile CB antenna on it, put it a handle on it, and we were able to direct the signal so that it wasn't a full 360. Only the person I was pointing it at, there was a vector, of course, that could receive it. But you could do that. Figure, like where we are up on a hill, we give a guy an 11-meter, 27 megahertz radio. That's a CB, a citizen's band radio. We, you know, put a solar panel on a 7-amp-hour battery. He's only going to be using it to check in every half hour or when something happens anyway. So the solar panel keeps the security battery, the 7-amp-hour security light battery, charged. Put a hand crank up there if you need it. And you have that antenna, camouflaged, of course, pointing right to your main facility. And they do that. Maybe a you broadcast fluke. Yeah, that happens from time to time. I've been listening to the replays. Oh, that's a good picture, Lou. I've been listening to the replays, and they do put stuff in. What do we got going on out there, Lou? I hear a truck revving up. It's probably your mom. She's probably coming up the hill. Throwing it into four-wheel drive and popping wheelies coming home. CBs, folks. They're small. We got a backpack frame here. It's like a nylon plastic backpack frame somebody threw out. I couldn't leave it. I had to grab it. And then one of the Exeter militia guys is like, hey, you could turn that into a communications backpack. Throw a couple of those dry cell sealed batteries there. And then put a CB on it. Put a 6-foot whip that can be coiled up. And then everybody says, okay, you're carrying it. But it's a great tool. I love CBs. Now, once you get over the horizon, they're not going to be as good during daylight hours. At night, you'll get skipped, but you can't control where that goes. And we got a guy that can take a normal CB and make it 50, 60 watts. You're going to eat up a lot more battery. But a normal 5-watt CB is going to be all you need for perimeter security, for your roving guards and golf carts or on the back of a burrow, whatever it is. CBs are great. Now, you got FRS radios that are still good, but you need multi-layer. The GMRS FRS radios, I love them. I've got a couple. I destroyed one by slamming it in the tailgate of our vehicle. We need to get another one, Lou. You got to remind me of that when we go down. If we go down this week, we got to get another FRS radio.
Go down this week, we need to get
another. Don't remind me now. Remind me when we're down this week. And people wonder why I beat you with bamboo.
I can disarm you of it.
Oh. Right behind Lou's head, we have antenna masts. People throw them out. I pick them up. There's about 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 6 times 4, that's 24 feet of antenna mast there, because you get a little bit of overlay, you know, they're 4 foot something. Be collecting up antenna masses, guy wire, any kind of copper wire that you can use to make antennas with. We're about to put a big push in here and hook up all of our radios. I was talking about it yesterday. But 90% of the people go, oh, I have a CB, but I don't know where it is. I haven't turned it on. When we had the camera on here, I've got 3 or 4 CBs right behind my head. I've got power supplies, 12-volt inverters to go from 12-volt or to go from 110 in the wall to 12-volt. I'm going, yeah, but there won't be any electricity. There will be for us. You know why? Less than 3 miles from here is a hydroelectric generating facility that's about the size of a 7-Eleven, but it powers everything up here, and we'll take control of that. There's actually 2 of them, so we're okay there. Plus, we've got water wheels. We've got all kinds of stuff. Let's see. Yeah, copper's always a good thing to collect. We got buckets of parts up here. You know, somebody says, hey, we're going to bulldoze a house. Come and get stuff. I've told you that. You've heard it. We've got another house tomorrow we're going to go into and check out that they're gonna bulldoze up here. Because the property's worth more than these old structures that are on them. And, you know, Grandpa or Great Uncle Ludwig died, and the kids are like, we just want to bulldoze it and start over again when the economy gets better. What's it say? Okay, don't wiggle it. I bought a bunch of 22 hollow points. Tell all your listeners that your wife bought a lot of ammo. Stacy just texted us because we can't do voice in here too well on the phone. But she said to say hello and that she bought a bunch of ammo. And none of it's for you guys. She bought all the ammo at Walmart. Now you're going to do without. I don't think anyone... I guess Scotty's in there. He's a little closer. But most of you folks are at least a couple hours away from me. So I don't know who Prep for the Future is. I'm not sure. I think I know who that is, but I'm not sure. But most of you folks are at least an hour away from us. A lot of people from other states. Yeah, good job. Just text, good job. Tell her the pork chops are done, and if she wants to add anything to them, to start that up, and then when the show's over, we'll all eat. Twisted pair wire. You heard me talk in the first hour. We've got a couple thousand feet of Category 5 wire. You never know what you're going to need it for. Oh, yeah. True Sons of Liberty said lumber in those houses. We got a barn up here full of lumber from people that they just said, here, haul this off. Oh, prep for the futures in Europe. Well, I guess you're not going to be too offended by my wife buying up all the ammo there. May the pork be with you. Yes. We are pork-eating crusaders here. Huh? I don't eat shellfish. I eat pork, Lou. You can eat all the shellfish you want. Ugh. But the wood in those structures, my pastor has been very diligent. Hey, you want that wood? We'll take it. Some idiots up here take it and burn it. And it's good wood for building. Because we realize we've got 20 acres here. We've got a handful of buildings on it. I know some of you have Googled us and made comments about it. Oh, you're in a bowl. It's, you know, you're going to be dead. Well, we know that, and we've taken countermeasures. But we have a lot of open space. How are we going to build structures for our brothers and sisters that come here prepared, but they need a structure? Well, we'll say, hey, hammers and nails are over there. There's the wood. Build yourself a lean-to or something. So we're collecting up a lot of that old wood. Serve pork, and if your guests do not partake, then, well, yeah. It's a good test. I love pork. I don't eat it all the time. I'm not like Homer Simpson. I may look kind of like him, although I got more hair. I got a lot more hair. I love pork. We got a lot of wild pigs, and they're back. We just found out the pigs are tearing up the yard again, so we got to get out the weapons and maybe a couple spotlights and stay up late at night now and see if we can fill the freezer. Because the wild boar, they're Russian boar, big tusk. They come down and they tear up the cemetery and the church property.
She
what?
Said okay.
Oh, I said okay. But communication, let's get back on that. Go to yard sales. Start dedicate. You know, don't sleep in on Saturday morning. Get to these yard sales first. Even if you have to be annoying and sit there and stalk them while they're setting it up. Well, don't do that. But walkie-talkies of any kind, any era, are going to help. Because the first thing you learn when you're learning tactical, squad tactics, you need communication. I don't care how well you train together in sign language and touch and all that stuff. Eventually, you're going to have to tell somebody up on the hill you're bounding overwatch. Lou's giving me signs to go kill a sniper on the hill. We practice this stuff all the time. You're going to eventually have to get on a radio to tell somebody, okay, ceasefire. Oh, you're friendly fire. That's us. Things always go wrong. You need to be able to communicate with other units, even with your own people. If you can, spend a little money and get really nice Vox, not Vox mics. I hate Vox. People always use them wrong. Push-to-talk microphones that will hook into these things, like your little FRS. Yeah, voice-activated stinks. Because every time we've tried to use voice-activated, whether I was in the military or Minuteman or militia, you always get somebody who adjusts the sensitivity wrong on their voice-activated walkie-talkie, and all you hear is this when they're running. And it's you'll hear them talking about somebody they don't like in the unit. That happened one time on the border. Somebody sat there and they had their Vox on, and it every time they talked, it transmitted. Oh yeah, what do you think of so and so? Oh, I think he's an arrogant, dirty SOB. And we're all just laughing because we're like, yeah, you know, they don't realize they're transmitting it out. But these headset systems, throat mics, anything you can get your hands on that's durable, get some athletic tape. And if you can, I've even used 100-mile-an-hour green tape. I've taped them to my head. Because when you're in the melee, when you're out there in the brush, they'll get ripped off your head. I've taken the earpieces and taped them to the side of my head. Yeah, I lose a little flesh in the morning when I take it off. But at least I never missed a call. I like the ones that have the push-to-talk that you can put on in your hand and hold it like the Secret Service guys. I put those on in my hand, strapped to my hand with Velcro or elastic or something. And that way, even if I've got my weapon up, and if you can see me, I'm simulating shooting a rifle, I can still push the push-to-talk with my thumb because it's attached to my hand.
Don't shoot the drake.
So I can still shoot and talk if I have to, although it's kind of hard to listen when they're doing that. I like this Bury Hardlines. We've covered that before. The old crank-up World War II radio systems that you can crank. Bury multiple lines. If you can and get away with it like we can here, We've got, fortunately, our pastor is a tree surgeon, so we have a bucket truck. We'll put line right up next to the power lines, and they'll never see it. You know, and you have second and third levels in case they do find it and cut it, or it fails. Gophers up here, You know, everybody says, well, we'll have to put it in conduit because they like to chew through the wire. So it's something you're going to have to maintain. And it stinks because you don't know where it's broken. So if you've got three or four poles going different routes, then you can just switch. Murphy's Law. We've got hand crank generators to run these things. You can adapt bicycles. I mean, I could go on for hours, but not going out and getting these things now, because you should have everything else you need. You should have your weapons. You should have a minimal level of training. You should have good storable portable food, storable portable water, a means to bug out. You should have good hunting clothes. Doesn't have to be military-grade clothes, but something you can get around in, boots, gloves, coats, whatever the weather is going to dictate that you need, backpacks, and a plan. You should already have a plan. If you don't have your plan, don't talk to me. Just listen. Go away and listen. Don't talk to me about how cool your night vision is when you don't even have a plan. Yeah, don't tell me you spent $1,200 on a set of body armor, but you haven't taken one class in firearms tactics with a handgun or a carbine. Don't even talk to me. Just go away and listen, and then go take a class somewhere. But, yeah, hardline communications, computers. Don't throw away any computers. You'd be surprised. 456s can be used. Ed Kornke was saying tonight, they use a 456 computer to stream their audio. You know, because you're going to – once we start winning this thing, when the shooting starts, we're going to need to communicate with the folks out there, and we're going to need to put up a lot of clandestine radio stations. And every piece of technology that you have the ability to store – I mean, don't throw out food in lieu of stacking up five, you know, PCs. Don't do that. Trade those PCs for something else with somebody who doesn't have one and doesn't understand the value of it. Explain it to them. Extension cords, drop cords, pigtails. If you have a generator, do you know how to hook it to your house? Do you really? Have you just read the manual? Have you actually tested it? What's going to happen if you plug it into that 220 outlet behind your dryer and you crank it up? Are you going to blow out your generator? Are you going to blow out everything in the house? Do you really know how to use it? Or do you just think you know? Deep cell batteries, boat batteries with solar panels. Stash them all over the place. Cover your shed out back with solar panels. A little here, a little there. Windmills. Learn how to rewire an alternator so you can rig up a windmill. I'm kind of shotgunning it right now because, honestly, whenever I get into one of these ruts where I don't have a whole lot to talk about, I just want to hit the basics. Yeah, Mondays, I hit the gospel basics. Tuesday, I want to hit the material and preparation basics.
Wednesday,
I don't know what I'm going to talk about. It depends what they do in the news. If we're here tomorrow, who knows? You know, I don't know what we'll talk about. We buy wireless routers. We've got three. Well, one was thrown away and I took out of the trash. Two we bought. One at a yard sale for $2. One at a secondhand store for $5. Wireless routers. We're using them right now. Anything that sends a signal out for that can be used for communication, we try and figure out a way to use it. Hand crank radios and flashlights. Make sure your radios have shortwave, but if you can only find the ones that are FM, that's fine. Now, this one here, this Radio Shack model, they don't make anymore. But it's got a USB and a cell phone charger. And you can charge your laptop simply by hooking USB to USB and then going. It's got a light on it. I got two bands of shortwave. I can listen to when Mark Kornke was on, I could listen to it. I could listen to WWCR, Worldwide Christian Radio. Two Sons of Liberty saying wireless is a no-no, can be intercepted. Well, that's you don't always put encrypted stuff on everything. You can have general communication stuff that's not of a sensitive nature. So wireless is great to be used when you need it for different things. Nothing I am doing here would matter if they intercept it. Nothing I am doing here matters if they listen. And we encrypt ours. We change the passwords quite frequently. We rotate them around. You have to have some diligence. The computers we're using now, the one Lou's using is hardwired to a router. I'm on wireless because all I'm doing is reading what's in the chat room. So there are applications for wireless. It's not to be completely ignored. Besides, when the shooting war starts, you're going to be communicating wireless anyway with other types of devices. And you can hook up cameras to a wireless router. You can hook up motion sensors to wireless routers. They're very useful. And where we are, because of the way our facility is set up, where I'm at the High Point, And if I had something up here and I was transmitting in all directions, and let's say I used it to send camera signals, it would work great. People could just plug in, and if they had a wireless receiver, there's ways you can get around it. The internals are good. We have one guy that's kind of a board level guy. I'm a wire rat. I like hooking stuff up and running it. Point in fact, those of you that live in rural areas have seen these. They're driveway indicators. They use like when you go in. Remember when you used to go into grocery stores? They may still have them around. And they ding ding when you walk by. You know, it's a light sensor. You break the beam of light, it goes off. Those things are awesome to have. And some of them are wireless now. We can go 300 feet, and you can camouflage them and hide them in the bushes. Hook a solar panel up to them. You'll know when somebody's coming down your driveway. There are all kinds of cross applications for common everyday things. Wireless microphones. Wireless microphones can be hooked to a solar panel, stuck out somewhere, and you just monitor it, you know, a few hundred feet away, and you can hear if people are out there whispering in the trees. You don't think so? I can tell you, it works. And you talk about those people, I've got motion sensors, I spent $500 on them, I did all this. Why? Why? When you could take a little tiny solar panel, stick it up in a tree somewhere, camouflage it, and stick a microphone out there and have a battery pack on it that charges some rechargeable batteries. And all day long, you can tune your FM receivers to 88.1 megahertz or whatever you decide to set that wireless mic on. And you go, hey, there's somebody out there. Especially if you put them in key places where you can't cover. Run the antennas up high. Put a long wire antenna on a little wireless microphone. You'll be surprised what kind of range you get. I used to play with all this stuff. You can communicate with LEDs, infrared LEDs. I knew a guy got busted in Southern California. He had a friend that had satellite television, and he wanted to get it, but he didn't want to pay for it. So he hooked up an infrared communication device using coffee cans that went the length of a block, and he was just bogarting. You know, the guy knew he was doing it. The cable company or the satellite company found him. But it was a narrow beam communication, and you can send signals over infrared. Microwave ovens, those microwave guns that are in there. I know these two guys in Southern California that communicated like 30 miles away using those things. I wouldn't want to put my head in front of one of them, but they stuck them up on poles. One guy was up in Big Bear, one guy was down in San Bernardino. And they were communicating voice and images over converted microwave ovens. So that's why it's good to network. I don't know how to do that. I could read the book all day long on how to do it, and I probably wouldn't figure it out. I wouldn't figure out how to do it. You can send video over shortwave. You can send video over ham radio. During certain Red Cross functions and emergency events, actual and training, we had amateur radio guys that would go out with their cameras hooked to their ham radios. I think they were 440 maybe. I'm not sure. I'll have to look into it. But they gave us windshield surveys of flood damage and say, hey, here it is. This is what's going on. Here's how high the flood water is, gentlemen. Here's the houses that are damaged. That technology is already out there and off the shelf. You know, you're not talking like, you know, soldier-mounted head cams and all that, but if you could set up a remote place, it's the hills around here, we can't see behind a hill. Stick a camera up there somewhere, disguise it as a rock, solar power it, and we can just switch to it on the radio and look to see what's over there. And do a generator. I don't know how you would wind that. That's an interesting answer. A great survival generator, if you're in a mountainous area, is a 500-pound weight on the end of a winch geared to a generator. As the weight drops over the ledge or down a shaft, it runs the generator, then winds it up and goes to do it again. That sounds like kinetic energy, perpetual energy. I don't know. You would have loss because you'd have to pull the weight back up. I guess you use manpower to pull it back up. I'm not sure how that would work. We've got water, and I've been collecting bicycles. People are like, why do you want so many bicycles? They're all broken. I said, I can take these wheels, these gears, these chains, hook it up to a generator and put a couple scoops on these wheels, lower them in the water, and they're generating electricity. Maybe not a lot, but enough to charge our batteries for our handheld communications, right? All this energy going down the river right now God's given us that we're ignoring. All the solar light that's landing on us. If you're in a windy area, it's all right there. I want you to prep the commercial for the store and then a song. Do the commercial first. Tell me when you're ready. You got to keep looking at the clock, Lou. It's already 6:30.
I didn't know you wanted the commercial.
Yeah. Every half hour break. I need a break to get water and stuff. But we'll be back as soon as Lou tells me we're ready to go. I don't know what he's doing. He's like lost. Lou's getting this. Okay. We'll be right back after this message.
Thank you for listening to the Dutch Jones Radio Program. And if you get nothing else from our show, there should be two things that you learn. One is, you need to work together with other like-minded people. And number two, you need the basic equipment to keep from becoming a refugee. So whether you're looking for a water filter, tactical gear, surplus gear, or just want to look into some new survival equipment, you need to check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk. We carry surplus, and we carry new lines from MilSpec and Voodoo Tactical. And if you don't see it on our website, please send us a message and we'll find it for you. So if you're going to need the gear anyway, why not buy it from us? You'll get it for cheaper than you will from the source, and it'll help out the ministry here at the Dutch Jones Radio Program. So whether you're new or been in this for a while, check out djstore.tk. That's djstore.tk.
They're calling us right-wing extremists, and they mock us on TV. 'Cause we're united to defend our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing Americans who cling to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemies. Number one. Up till now, I always thought our vets were real patriots who loved their country with all their hearts. Oh, they proudly wore the uniform. They fought and died on foreign shores when liberty called them to do their part. Now the Department of Homeland Security has sounded the alarm, calling our vets a bigger threat than the terrorists who want to do us harm. They're calling us right-wing extremists, and they mock us on TV. 'Cause we're united to defend our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing conservatives who cling to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. We tend to be pro-life all the way. We're not ashamed to bow our heads to pray. The First Amendment gives us the right to speak our minds. We don't like how our money's spent by politicians who seem bent on controlling everything in our lives. They're even calling us rednecks and racists 'cause we don't like the policies of our nation's first black president in our great history. They're calling us right-wing extremists, and they mock us on TV 'cause we're united to defend our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing daughters and sons who cling to our faith and our guns. the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Through our faith in God, who we still trust, America was born. But freedom lost is forever gone. Our founding fathers warned. Oh, they're calling us right-wing extremists, and they mock us on TV. 'Cause we're united to defend our Constitution and fight against tyranny. We are proud, God-fearing patriots who claim to our faith and our guns. So now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Yes, now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one. Yes, now they have the feds all watching us like we're enemy number one.
Guns aren't toys. They're for family protection, hunting dangerous or delicious animals, keeping the King of England out of your face.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem. Is the problem.
Here's a hint for you geniuses out there.
It's all for nothing if you don't have freedom.
It's all that cheese they eat. Seems like every other day somebody's rolling a 50-pound cheese wheel in.
Put out all points, boom. We'll set up roadblocks everywhere.
A new world order. A new world order. A new
attention!
World order.
A new world
order.
Attention!
Government is an emergency.
I'm not going to stand for this. I'm going to call the newspapers, the TV stations, the gas stations, everybody.
What kind of radio show is this?
Sit back down and shut your trap. It's time for
Facts. Jehu's.
Radio program.
And now for something completely different.
See, you didn't garble that time. I think it was just something to do with your CPU usage. We're back up. Both mics are up. I am Dutch Jones, and Lou's over there across the table from me, and we're trying to do a little radio show here. We do it Monday through Friday from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m., and Monday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, we're on Liberty Tree Radio for the 6 o'clock to 7 o'clock hour. I implore you to go to DutchJones.tk, check out the site there. Right below the player, you'll see a chip-in. That's a little way for you to donate some FRN, some Federal Reserve notes. They're not worth anything anyway, so why don't you send a few our way so we can exchange them for bandwidth and for electricity. That kind of fits the mode. That's what we're talking about. We need to be generating our own electricity up here. That's the next thing I'm going to be working on once we get a few major projects out of the way here. I'd love to be able to come to you every day and say, we're coming to you for free as far as electricity goes. And all we have to pay for is the internet and the U-Broadcast storage stuff. Where are you going, Lou? Going to open the curtain? Go ahead and open it up. It looks like the time for the flies around. Oh, there goes the pastor driving down the road. Open the curtain up. It's beautiful out today up here. And for those of you that don't know where we are in the mountain foothill. It's more like foothill community. We're about 1,000 feet, and we've got 2,000, 3,000, 4,000 foot peaks all around us. And then I can see the, you know, the big 10,000 foot peaks off in the distance. I don't know if there's any 14ers around here. Kaweah, California. We're pretty much right next to Sequoia National Park. We are about 40 miles due east of Visalia, California, in a little community. There's two communities. Actually, there's three or four communities. There's Kaweah, there's Three Rivers, there's Mineral King, and then there's something like Silver City we found out the other day up here. What are you hiding behind your computer for, Lou? Don't like the geography lesson?
No.
But we're up here, and we're in survival mode. We're trying to build a Christian covenant community. We invite you to check us out. You can go to thechurch@kaweah.org.
Oh,
did I say R-R-J? O-R-G. I'm tired. Org. But just go to DutchJones.tk and look it up in the links. You'll be able to find it there. There will be a link there. You can go check out the pastor. You can check out some of his sermons. Thanks to Olima in the chat room, we were able to, what's the word we're looking for? Archive sermons and things like that. So you
well,
we
had to archive our own because it'd be cheaper. And
but we've got you can listen to the Wednesday nights providential history teachings that we do in our Bible study, which is a great study. Another thing that's unique about our church is I'm not sure if everyone, but darn near close to everyone, has been asked and is willfully reading the book Patriots from the same guy who does survivalblog.com. And people are just – I read it years ago. He's added a few things. We're waiting for our book to come in since I had already read it. We let other people take the first 10. We've ordered another 10 books, and it's a good study guide. It reads like a suspense novel, like an adventure novel, you know, kind of thing, you know. But you can learn a lot from it. I took my pistol off, and it I went to put it back on, and I almost secured myself to the chair by going around the armrest. Oh, that's not good. There we go. But we're all proactive here. At the very least, even if people no longer have the physical ability, they're supporting those that have the physical ability but not the financial ability. You've got folks here that are 75 years old that are paying for 25-year-olds to take the weapons classes. They're supporting this ministry. I had a gentleman walk up to me in church from he's got his place, Outpost. Is it Outpost of Liberty? Fred calls his place Outpost of Liberty. Fred Bader, he doesn't mind me using his name. In fact, I'm going to try and get him to do little 10-minute tidbits on here. He's got to be in his 80s. He's a Swiss farmer, rancher, dairyman, retired. And he walked up to me, just handed me $10. He said, I really like your radio show stuff. Keep up the good work. And he walked away. So put the $10 in the till and, you know. And
says what being asked a question.
What's the question?
If out-of-town people were to come to your church, would they be put up in a safe place while they were there?
It's an excellent question. True Sons of Liberty asked if out-of-town people were to come to our church to visit, would they be put up in a safe place while they were there? We have a couple homes on the property here, and visitors, especially if they bring a family, we've had people come up from all over the place, and if, you know, it's kind of first come, first serve, especially on our training Sundays. And during the conference, no, because in the conference, the speakers stay in the houses with their families. We also have enough area that people bring RVs, stuff like that. So yeah, we've got a couple homes that people can come stay for a couple days to, you know, come up if you want to. If you're coming a long way and you want to go to church on Sunday, and you get here on a Saturday, you can stay over in one of the guest trailers. I guess not really houses or trailers, I guess is the exact way to put it. And then we've got a couple bachelors living in trailers that are two or three bedrooms. If you're a bachelor coming up, you can, you know, stay with them. What we don't want is what happened last fall, or was it around Christmas time? Some dude in a wheelchair just shows up at the front door of the church on a rainy afternoon saying, hi, I heard about you on the internet. This was, you know, a pot-smoking, good-time Charlie, hippy-dippy guy. Rastafarian guy who didn't share any of our views. You know, he was against the New World Order and all, but his view was to come up here and be pampered to.
He mysteriously got up steps.
Yeah, he was in a wheelchair, but we've seen him walking, you know, stuff like that. And he was here for all too long, and he tested our Christian caring, and we eventually said it's time to move on. And he saw us in some forum. Somebody said, hey, there's this church up in Korea. They're really cool. And he just shows up. Yeah, if you come from Nebraska, that's a long way. We've got people that moved from here to Nebraska. Where did the Clocky girl end up going to? Wasn't it Nebraska or Kansas? Oh, if you come to visit, you can ask her mom and her parents. But yeah, we have people come and visit. We had I'm trying to think the farthest we've had just to come to church. We had people from all over the state come up and stay in one of the trailers overnight. Because the hotels are ridiculous. Especially this time of year, they're $80, $90, $120 a night. That's the bad thing about being in a tourism town. Off season, you know, we can get deals, stuff like our October conference. That's not a, you know, the tourist is probably ended by October, which I don't know why. It's beautiful up here in October. But as you go up higher into the park, it's snowing already. So, in fact, we've had snow and rain here in October before. But, so we do our best to, you know, be humble and hospitable Yeah, we just don't want it. The risk is, and I've had guys come up here because they've heard one radio show or they saw the website and saw the To Teach Them More, and they're ready to join the cause. And we're like, no. There's a courtship involved. You come to church. You fellowship with us. Let us get to know you. We've got a guy right now that's been coming up. He comes up one or two weekends a month. He comes on Wednesdays, and he's being diligent about it. He's getting to know who we are. We're getting to know who he is, and that's the way we're going to do it, especially now the way things are going. True Sons of Liberty says, brothers and sisters in Jesus must support each other first. That's the truth. They tried being a mission up here. They used to bring in – the room we're in right now was barracks for drug-addicted youth back in the 70s or 80s. I'm not sure exactly when they did it. They would try and do, you know, they worked with the state at that time, which was a mistake, and they realized that, for alternative sentencing for youth. It just didn't work out. And they had another building where the women were. This is where the men were. The women were across the road, and they couldn't keep them apart, you know, because they were humanists. They weren't Christians, or else they wouldn't, you know, constantly be battling drugs. I'm not saying Christians don't have drug problems. It happens. But they learned their lesson with that. But then the facility was turned into a law library, and now it's a radio studio. Churches evolve over time. Missions evolve over time. The calling of the Lord's people changes over time. Looking at your next question, their True Sons of Liberty, or a statement, we're just as safe as anywhere else. I mean, we watch each other's backs. You'll hear it in the radio show. We'll hear a car, Lou bolts to the window. One of our brothers up here rented a car for a trip. He didn't want to beat up his own car. And we're like, hey, what's that black car doing up here? And it turns out it was our, you know, but we noticed it. We did get TP'd Saturday night, though, not us. There's a woman, a single mom that lives on the property with two teenage kids.
They'd be like,
I don't think anybody would TP us, but they TP'd the house across the street, across the road. So, and I got up at midnight to lock everything up and look around, and there was no TP on their trees or lawns then, so it happened between midnight and about 4 in the morning when I got up.
Them with their own toilet paper.
We'd make them choke on their own toilet paper. Now, I used to TP houses when I was a kid. It's a rite of passage. It's also a sign of disrespect if they do it to the church, but they were doing it to a house, you know, so that's a little different. That kind of stuff happens. It's a sleepy little town, but we do have crime. We do have people that come up here to poke around, if you know what I mean. And we usually confront them face to face. I've told you the stories about the county stooges that came up here, and we usually send them walking. You know, we don't sign anything. They try to hand us something. We just back up. You'll find if you come to visit the church, people say, hi, my name's Bob. Nobody uses last names up here. That's just a common sense thing to do now. They've been doing it since the 90s, so don't be insulted by that if you visit. It's not – huh?
Bob Kubert.
That's one of Lou's Lou's – I told him he has to come up with some nom de guerre. Bob Kubert. Bob Kubert Jones was the name he came up with. So I was like, okay, yeah. When we do your high school diploma from the church, we'll put that on there. That's what we'll do. But we live in a different world now. We have to take precautions. We have to be diligent. We had a guy show up at our last training. He didn't show up for church like is required. If it's a Sunday training, you have to be here for church and you have to eat with us. That's where we talk to you and stuff. And then you can go to – you'll do the 2 or 3 hour training because we have classroom training and field training depending on who the instructors are. There's somebody just walking down the road and lost them. Probably just a regular jogger or something. But we don't just open the doors. We do for church service. So don't come – you know, if you come, don't be insulted. We believe that. We like to meet people in person. We had some guy, and if you're a listener to my show, whoever this person was, it was Charles 14.
L. Charles 14.
L. Charles 14 called the church and just asked, you know, I can't find you. Where are you? And he was like talking like this. Where do you live? I couldn't find it. If you're a listener, you need to leave a phone number. My pastor's like, who is this guy? And I'm worried that it's one of my listeners, Charles 14 or something.
At least you'd leave a phone number.
Yeah, leave a phone number. If you call the church, because you can get the phone number for the church off the website, and you're saying you want to come fellowship with us, that's wonderful. But don't call up all mad because you couldn't find it in Google Earth. That's not our fault that they're trying to erase us. And there is
find it in Google Earth.
There's a concerted effort on like Yahoo Maps and stuff. They're trying to erase this community because of what we're doing here. I've told you that they're taking away our post office. I told you that they're trying to get rid of our zip code. UPS ignored us for months. Until the driver promised me if it gets on his truck, he'll get it here. So that's the point. We want to meet people. We want to, you know, and that's not saying right now at our church service, especially the bigger ones, there's probably an FBI guy here. They've come in the past. They've come overtly to talk to people. They've come and sat for three or four services in a row, and then when they see that we're not doing anything that they can nail us on, they leave. We've got a member of our church. I'm not going to give his name out on the radio, but he's kind of, I would say he's a moderate celebrity. He's written several books. He's produced movies, been in a couple movies. He's nobody, if I told you the name, you go, oh, yeah, I love that guy. But if you dug deep enough, you go, oh, I remember that. I heard that story. This guy's, he's been to China.
I've heard of that guy.
He's been to Cuba, and the FBI just hates that. You know, he goes over to share the gospel with a sports ministry and his movie ministry. He's taken a movie that he just produced, and he's taken it to China in the next few months. Yesterday's Dreams. If you Google Yesterday's Dreams, it's a movie he made about our community. It's kind of a – some of the characters are in there, like our passed away pastor, our senior pastor passed away. He's pretty well represented in it. But it doesn't touch on any of the militia stuff. It's just on the, you know, the quaintness of the little community up here. But Yesterday's Dreams. But he went over to China. He's been to Cuba. And the FBI came in and started questioning people around here. And we're like, why don't you talk to him? It's none of our business where he goes. Wherever the Lord leads him, even if I don't like the guy, if the Lord leads him to go to China and spread the gospel with his sports ministry or with his movies that he's making, because he's made several movies. He made one called Hollywood on Fire or something like that. Was that the name of it? Hollywood on Fire, about Christians having to go covert in Hollywood to get movies made. He found his page? Yeah, so sure. I don't want to be giving his name out, but
it's the ITMB.
Yeah, the ITMB. Yeah, what else does it say about him? We need to look at that. But he comes to our church. We had until he passed away, we had a supporter of our church, John
Quaid.
Quaid was a supporter of our church. He died last year. And I'm honored to say that we worked on the last video he ever produced. That was to teach them war, and you need to see that. So we have a lot of people coming. This stream that I've tapped into in the last 3.5-4 years is but a small part of this church. It's been here since 1964, I think the pastor said this Sunday. 1964, and every day it's been a battle. People don't want this church here, but you know why it's here? Because God loves this church. God blesses this church. And if you are in the Central Valley of California, you need to be going to this church if you like any of the stuff I've been saying. If you listened yesterday and you liked the gospel teaching I share with you, I'm not making this stuff up. I'm being taught it 142 yards out that window that I'm pointing to. Oh, we don't have the camera on. 142 yards from this window to that corner of the building. Yeah, that's right. I lazed it. In that chapel right over there, that little green chapel, is where I'm learning this stuff. And I didn't know half this militant Christian stuff 4 years ago when I first came here. I was in the militia, I was a Christian, and the struggle to combine the two was always causing problems for me. I knew there was a connection. I knew historically there was one, but until I got to this church, I didn't know the solid teaching in the Bible about it, because the churches I went to were blind. They teach what did he call it? A truncated gospel. And truncated means it's cut off at the end and the beginning, and they're just teaching you the middle. It's like when you give a sandwich to a kid and he picks out all the parts he doesn't like. The olives go, the onions go, the pickles get thrown. The mustard gets wiped off of the napkin. All you're there with a couple pieces of meat and maybe some cheese and some bread.
You're making fun of me.
Yeah, I'm making fun of you, Lou. That's how Lou eats a sandwich. A truncated message of the gospel. You're not going to get that here at the Church of Kauai. And yes, I'm promoting the church. And yes, I want you to come here. And yes, if you fit in, if it's the God's will that you can be fed at this church, so be it. We're not a corporate church. They surrendered the license back in the 90s when they realized that they were disobeying God by having a 501c3 permit. We don't pay property taxes. We don't pay payroll taxes. Not because we're tax evaders. It's because doing the service of the Lord, we are tax immune. We're not tax exempt. We are tax immune. I can do a whole show on that one day. The property, the building I'm in, the name on the stuff says Jesus Christ is the owner. All of the local churches in Chico are 501c3. Yeah, that's sad, Warland. Ah, hello, Min Patriot. You're back. Glad you're back. I hope you've been listening. Sounds like Mom's home. Either that or somebody's coming in the front door. Watching for a shadow and Maybe I'm just hearing things. Thought I heard a squeak. Yeah, it was a bird. It was a bird. Sounds like the hinges on the front door. We don't oil doors around here for a reason, and that's something I recommend to you guys. Why have a door that you can't hear being opened? If I'm coming through it, it's probably okay. But if somebody else is coming through it, I want that door to make a little bit of noise so I can hear it. So we don't oil the hinges here. Some people get annoyed at that. I'd rather have a – hinges are cheap. An elaborate alarm system is expensive. So just a little throw you a little nugget there, little Dutchism that I'll share with you. But this church, the church at Kaweah, if you can't attend, if you're too far away, what you can do is you can contact us in the email, and Lou will burn you a sermon every Sunday, and it'll be mailed to you. Yeah, you, Lou. That's your job. What are you acting? He's been doing it for like 2 years. He's acting like, I didn't know he did that. We have a handful of people. We have a handful of people that they can't come to the church because they live where? You have five people? I got 5 minutes. Where's the farthest that you send sermons to? How far away? Kansas? Texas?
I don't know.
Yeah. But we mail sermons all over the place. And it's, you know, they'll tithe. They'll send $25, and we'll send them sermons.
Another guy does it on
what?
Every other week, another guy.
Yeah, some people does it. They do it every other week?
Yeah.
That's weird. I'd hate to think I missed out on something. I can tell you right now, if I – oh, he sends the money every other week and then you mail two at a time?
The people that do the audio, we switch every other week.
Oh, yeah. Lou doesn't want to take all the credit. We have a young man. He's 20, 21. He shares the duties. He's actually going away to work at a cattle ranch, so you're going to be doing it every day, every Sunday.
Every day.
For like months, for all summer. All of June.
All of June and half of July.
Yeah, so you'll be doing audio. So if you can't come here, drop an email to the church and say, hey, I heard about it on Dutch Jones' show. Here's $25, $30, $50. Could you please send me every Sunday sermon?
There's three people that get it.
And then what you can do, too, is you can go to the church's website and download our Wednesday nights for free. And if you like that, still send a little stipend to the church. Because the church needs its support. What was it? Somebody said the pastor needs a new roof. And we're like, well, the pastor's roof is fine. What the church needs is the new roof. We got a leaky roof and no money to fix it. And this little congregation is given and given and given to keep this ministry going. And I know what's going to happen. 6 months to a year, we're going to start seeing an influx of people that have been awakened. And we need to be ready for them. We need to be able to feed them the non-corporate church message. We need to share with them the true liberating gospel of Jesus Christ. And we're not going to be able to do it unless this mission on the radio here and the church is supported. So I implore you, if you can come here 1 weekend a month, if you can send a request to the church's website and say, hey, we want to hear your sermons, and then you copy those sermons and you hand them out and spread the word to everybody that churches in America don't need to be stagnating cesspools of lies, that truth can be preached in a church. I want to put those DVDs and CDs in your hands that we're offering. But we can't just put them out there for free. We've done that, and people just aren't blessing us. Yeah, it's Men Patriot. I no longer attend church. Way too much social justice, equality talk for my liking. You're not going to hear that from our church. You're going to hear a big old in-your-face sermons on tyranny, salvation, the love of Christ, the founding fathers. We're a true patriotic gospel church, and we don't ask permission. You'll hear the word sodomite, queer. I don't know if the pastor will ever say faggot from the pulpit. He doesn't say that. But I would say it if it's my turn at the pulpit. And I haven't done that for a while. I have talked about anarchists wanting to come to our church and break it up. Was probably the last thing I talked about from the pulpit when I found out about that website. But, yeah, most churches are just here to fill the pews and to tickle your ears. And we're not going to do that. Go ahead and play the music, Lou. Take down that one. Okay, folks. Well, we're ending another exciting episode of the Dutch Jones radio program. Please, if you like anything that you've heard today, drop me a line, DutchJonesShow@yahoo.com. If I've moved you in any way or helped you in any way, make a donation to the DutchJones.tk website, and you can go there to the chip in, and you can chip in. We need your help. We can't keep doing this. Poor Stacy's working you know, down there in the hill, fuel costs. We just, I told you about our vehicle breaking down. We just can't contribute as much as we have been. We've been contributing $200 or $300 a month to this cause. Because the electric bills are expensive, the bandwidth bills, all that kind of stuff. Now, I want to thank you all for listening. I implore you, if you're moved so, to check out the Church at Kaweah. And I mean just the website. I mean, come up here and visit us. You're welcome. Just email us or call us before you come up so we can give you directions because it's a hard place to find. Hey, Lou, the kitty face is back. So good night. God bless you and all you do. And remember, the sword is heavy. The battle is hard. But victory belongs to the Lord alone. All we can do is ask to take part. God bless you all. The crime at all. Being Irish means they're guilty. So they're guilty one and all. Round the world, truth will echo. Cromwell's men are here again. England's name again is sullied in the eyes of honest men. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons. But every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Armored cars and tanks and guns came to take away our sons, but every man must stand behind the men behind the wire. Proudly march behind our banner, proudly march behind our men. We will have them free to help us build a nation once again. On the people's day.